much.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that whoever Darrell is back, but I just wanted to thank Buck for being here tonight.
Hey, man, Buck, I've missed you, brother. They talk about Darrell, and I thought, well, how am I going to pray for Darrell? I don't know who Darrell is. No, I didn't know who it was, but he'll always be Buck. First time we ever pulled up here, Buck come running out, and he had an old knife, and on that knife it said Buck. And Diane was convinced that was his name, and I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit with hair speaks, it'll never be changed. I know she's somewhere listening for my name. Amen. And some more of you have been out sick this week and you've come tonight maybe not feeling well. It's sure good to see you also. And many others, y'all have made such efforts to come. Boy, we're so grateful. I appreciate what God has done this week. I promise you, I am just as amazed when God shows up as what you are. It always amazes. I love it. I go expecting it. But it always amazes me how that God works through us and uses us. And Brother Randy, Sister Denise, I want to say a special thank you to you. Boy, y'all have just caused me to sin every day. And then when they were not able, Brother Mike... Brother, I'm going to tell you what I really appreciate. I really appreciate you not telling them about all those honey buns or cinnamon rolls that I eat. I have eat. And they took us yesterday to CC's Pizza. And I kind of asked to go because I went there last year and I ate cinnamon rolls. And I got me a plate and Brother Andy says, is that all you go get? I had a salad with two pieces of pizza and one cinnamon roll. And I said, well, that way I can tell the people, they won't know what I eat. I can just say, well, I got me two plates. One was salad and two pieces of pizza and cinnamon roll. But I didn't tell them about those other four or five pieces of pizzas and seven or eight cinnamon rolls. And since Brother Randy weren't there telling me today, I ate more than that. Yes, I believe I ate eight or nine of those cinnamon rolls today. I'm telling you, folks, this is close to heaven when you're around here and you can go get some of that. But anyway, it's been a joy to be with you this week, and I thank you so much. We're looking forward to Anniversary Sunday being with you. Also, we do have to go up into Ohio for a couple dates. We'll get back in here probably late Saturday night, Sunday morning. And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do Sunday also. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 13. I love preaching from Luke 13. I believe at one time I was here, one of my favorite messages I preach out of Luke 13, a little space of grace. Boy, I love to preach on that little space of grace that God gives us. But tonight, I want us to turn there and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, and there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? Here's what Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt at Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's pray. Father, as we come tonight again, we want to thank you. Lord, thank you for all that you have done this week to our hearts. God, you have spoken to our hearts. And God, I believe that you have changed our life. God, I believe that the word has been so effective in my life this week. Dear God, that my life from thus forth It'll be more Christ-like. And I pray, dear God, that even tonight as we try to preach and expound these thoughts that you have put upon our hearts, God, I pray for your unction. God, for your power. God, for that special anointing tonight. God, I pray you put a hedge around this building tonight. And all the demons of hell, God, I pray that you'd run them out so that the Spirit of God might speak, and God, that people might hear what thus saith the Lord tonight. God, somebody's not saved tonight in this building. God, I believe that with all my heart, all day long, dear God, as I've prepared this and thought upon it even in the midst of the night last night. God, I believe that there are folks been here and that is here tonight that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. God, it is my plea. I plea in the name of Jesus and for His sake and for His glory that you'd save somebody tonight. God, change them just that fast, God, that change from death unto life. God, their names would be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, they'd be prepared to go to heaven. God, they would be there forever and ever when they die. God, please do that tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to try to preach tonight as simply as I possibly can from this subject, repent or perish. You know, Brother Randy, I believe sometimes we try to make the gospel too hard for folks to receive. Sometimes I get to preaching myself and I have so many points, there ain't no way anybody could ever remember all those things. But you know, when Jesus spoke, he spoke in simplicity where that a child could understand it. And I wrote this down. I pray that it will be a blessing to you. I'm talking about the simplicity of the gospel. I believe it is so easy a child can understand it. I believe that it's so available the poor can obtain it. But I believe it's so costly the rich can't afford it. I believe it's been brought down so low that all could have it. But it's so high that no one can reach it. It is a gift of God. Amen. I want to try tonight and probably the shortest message I'll preach all week. I want to try to preach tonight on the four absolutes in this passage. The four absolute. That word absolute, it means certain. It means sure. It means unwavering, that it won't waver, that it's unchanging. Now, notice these four absolutes real quickly and we'll go home. Number one, I want you to notice His absolute authority. His absolute authority. If you'll notice what the scripture said there in verse number 2, the Bible said these words, "And Jesus answering said." Who do we find that's speaking this? We find that it's Jesus, who is the Son of God. May I tell you tonight that Jesus is God. Amen. He has all the authority that God the Father hath. He hath, when He speaks, not only did He speak there, He spoke in verse 3 also. He said, "I say unto you." In verse 5, again, He said, "But I say unto you." There we find His authority again. And when I see where He said, "I say," I keep going back in my mind, back to where that Moses was going to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Hey, let my people go." And Moses said, "Well, whom shall I tell? They're sending me. I can't go in my authority. He'll kill me." And that's exactly, you and I, we can't go tonight in our own might or our own authority. But He said this to Moses. He said, "You go tell Pharaoh that I am has sent you." May I tell you, Pharaoh and all the demons of hell know who I am is and the authority that I am is.
He not only had the authority to speak of this world in place, but he has the authority to say these words, repent or perish. Notice in his absolute, certain, unchangeable, unwavering authority, we see his sovereignty. His sovereignty is that he is supreme ruler. You know, a lot of times when people go to court here and they don't like what the answer has been, what the decision was, they will say, well, I want to take this to a higher authority. May I tell you that Jesus is the supreme ruler, and when he says, repent or perish, may I say tonight, that is the supreme ruler speaking. Amen. He not only is supreme ruler, he is in complete control. He's God. He don't have to ask me. He don't have to ask me what I think about something. He don't have to ask me, is that right? You know, a lot of times, and we've dealt with this week, a lot of people says, well, I just don't believe that a just God would send somebody to hell. I don't believe a loving God. Hey, you know what? It really don't matter what you think. I'm not trying to be ugly with that. But God's going to be God. He was God before you came on the scene, and he'll be God after you go off the scene. He was God before our parents ever thought about our existence. He was God before man was ever created. He was God before the earth was ever formed. He has and always will be God. Never been a time he wasn't God. Never will there be a time that he will. I'm about to lose it right here. There'll never be a time that he will not be a sovereign God. He'll always be in charge. He'll never get so old he cannot handle the position. He does not age. He'll never get so old that he's going to get Alzheimer's. He never forgets. Amen. He'll never get so old. I was picking last night. We walked out and I was picking on this waitress in the restaurant, and she said, well, that's my boyfriend over there. And he's outside and he's kind of looking at us, you know, and they're picking on me how he's going to whoop up on me when I walked outside. And so when we walked outside, he's kind of hiding over there behind the wall. I told Miss Denise, I said, see that? I kind of flexed my muscles and he hid. Well, that's not exactly true, because when I get older as I have, I don't have many muscles to flex. But may I tell you what? God has never lost any of the power that he has, and he never will lose any. If we're thinking that he's going to age out or he's going to retire out, it's just not going to never happen. He is sovereign, and he always will be sovereign. He is absolute in his sovereignty. But he's also absolute in his answers. Notice what his answer was. He said to them, he said, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall perish. You know what? It didn't have nothing that could waver there. It didn't say, well, if you don't repent, unless you're Brother Randy's child, that's the only way. That isn't what it said. I mean, the one with all authority said, hey, I say to you, the answer is, except you repent, you're going to die and go to hell. There's no questioning to God's answer, is there? No one has the right to question what God says. His statement is, you can just put a period behind it. There's not going to be a question mark. What he says is going to go. It's not going to ever change. And may I say this? If you leave out of this life without repenting of your sins, you better believe when you open your eyes that fast after you die, you're going to open them in hell. Amen. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That was his absolute in his answer. But notice one more thing about his absolute authority. He's absolute in his judgment. He said, you're going to perish. There's no question about it. Hey, friend, look, they don't know, none of us want to die and go to hell. I've had people before say, well, I don't care if I die and go to hell. They're lying. They've told all these things. Well, when I get to hell, I'm going to party. May I tell you what? They talk like somebody don't know too much. They talk like not a smart fella. The Bible, hey, God called the rich man a fool. I ain't going to say that because my daddy slapped me one time when I called somebody a fool. But I'll say this much, it's foolish for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl not to repent of their sins, because there is coming a judgment, and when that judgment is placed on you, it is a finality. There'll never be any change to it. Hell will always be the place that you spend eternity. That's not too smart. That is the absolute of his authority. Second, I want you to notice, the second absolute is absolute that it's not your sins that will cause you to perish. Now let me say this tonight. You need to deal with your sins. I believe when you repent, you are going to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. But what I'm saying is this, that when Jesus died, I believe he died for your sins. I believe he died for before I was ever born, he died for my sins. And he died for your sin. It won't be your sins that will make you perish, but it'll be the rejection of Jesus Christ that will cause you to die and perish in hell. Notice some things there. There in these scriptures, he said in one place where that Pilate had mingled the blood of the Galileans with the sacrificial blood. That sounds like, boy, that's reason there. That is sin enough. Somebody ought to go to hell. When you go to messing with the way that God ordains worship, and especially the blood atonement, boy, I'm telling you, you're messing in a holy thing. You're messing in a holy place. But he said, look, although that is holy, he said, that is not what's going to cause you to go to hell. And then he said, well what about the sinners there? He talked about the greatness of their sins. Were these sinners above all Galileans? May I say this, three little things. It will not be your multitude of sins that will cause you to perish. It's not going to be the number of sins that you have committed that's going to cause you to perish. It won't be that you have committed adultery and that you gambled and that you lied and that you cheated or that you made fun of somebody or whatever it might. That will not be. It's not the amount. It's also not the severity. The severity or the level of sins. Sometimes we look at people and we think, well, boy, that sin they committed is worse than the little sin that I commit. It's not good. Some people think, many people, they think, well, there's no way God will save me because of the greatness of my sin. It is too great. God would never forgive me. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it is absolutely not the severity. You might have killed a man, but hey, did you know murderers could go to heaven? I hope so. Paul was there. Many murderers have repented of their sin. It will not be the multitude. It will not be the severity. And listen to this. It will not be the suffering of your sins that'll cause you. Some people say this, there's no way God will save me. I'm going through this because of my sins. And may I say, sometimes I believe that things are brought on us because of our sins, but other times they're not.
I mean, they're the boy that they brought before the Lord and opened up the rooftop and lowered him in. He was born with this. So it wasn't his parents' fault, the Bible says, but it was for the glory of God. So what I'm saying is, the Bible says here, he said, you think that the reason that these people will not get forgiveness that the Tower of Siloam fell on was because they was greater sinners than anybody else? And he said, nay, that is not the reason. And may I say tonight, your sufferings, the results of your sin. See, and I should have thought of a better example. A lot of people, I know people today that was born out of wedlock. And the kids, some of the kids, they always feel like that they are a result of sin and that, hey, how can God use them or how can God bless them? Or other kinds of sins like that are results of sin. But may I say that the results of your sin is not what will cause you to perish and go to hell. It is not absolutely. He is absolute in his authority. He's absolutely not your sins that will cause you to perish. And number three, it is absolutely no exclusions. The Bible said there, except you repent, you shall all. There's no exclusions. Hey, young men, young ladies, there's no exclusions. Because you who you are, it doesn't matter. May I say, Grandma, if you've never repented of your sin, there's no exclusion. Grandpa, Mama, Daddy, son, daughter, preachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, singers, banana players, there's no exclusions. Notice the Bible gave four different people here. I held up five fingers. That's four in North Carolina. He gave four different examples in these scriptures here. One was to all that was present. Can I tell you tonight, every single one of you that's present tonight, there's no exclusion except you repent, you're going to perish. The second was to sinners. He said, sinners, except you repent, you're going to perish. The third one was to Pilate. Pilate, leaders, except you repent, you're going to perish. There's none rich enough. There's none great enough. There's none powerful enough that'll be excluded. There is no exclusion. Fourthly, he mentioned Jerusalem. Can I say to you, having your name on the church book is not going to exclude you? But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Listen to my last thought and I'm done. Honey, be getting your song ready. Told you I was fast tonight. Absolutely, it's your choice. Absolutely, it's your choice. The Bible says this. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Amen. It's absolutely your choice. Three things and we'll go. Honey, go ahead and get up there if you want to. I hope I can preach 20 minutes and let her stand. Notice. It's absolutely that we have the freedom to make a choice. I don't believe, and I'll say this much, because I realize what ground I'm standing on when I say that. Because I believe that we're all dead in trespasses and sin. And I don't believe any of us can do anything except the Spirit of God draweth. And one says, you're as dead. There ain't no way you can get saved if you wanted to. On the Godward side, but on the manward side, hey, He has given you the freedom to make a choice. He's given you the gumption, the knowledge to make a choice tonight. He's saying, repent or perish. Easy, isn't it? I like watching the game shows. And I really feel smart when they give me a multiple choice, a true or false question. Boy, about half the time I can get it right and I feel pretty smart. Well, you know what? All he's doing, he's making it as simple as he can. Repent or perish. It's your choice. You have the freedom to make that. Number two, his word will empower your choice. If you make the choice tonight to repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, His Word, the Bible, it will empower your choice to come true. God, I am turning from my wicked ways tonight. And Lord Jesus, I'm turning to You, repenting of my sins, and trusting You and the work You did on Calvary to save my soul. If you call on His name tonight, if you ask Him to save you tonight, I believe that His Word will empower your salvation, your choice that you'll make tonight. But let me just say this. If tonight again, like many other times, you walk away from God, that same Word that will empower your salvation will empower your judgment. You say no? Boy, I tell you, you made a decision. You've made a choice. One more thought. Not only do we have the freedom to make a choice, and also that His Word will empower our choice, but number three, I believe His promises will secure our choice. He said, repent. Trust in the Lord, and I'll give you eternal life. Repent and trust in the Lord. He said, your name shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. Repent and trust in the Lord. And I promise you, heaven will be your home. It's His promise. They will be secured. They'll be the same thing as put into a strong box that nobody is able to open. He will secure it. Boy, I like my security tonight. If I had to trust in myself, boy, I wouldn't have much. But because I have trusted in the work of Jesus Christ and in His Word to empower it and His promises to secure it, I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. In closing tonight, I got three applications. Tonight, you can be like Belshazzar. Belshazzar, his partying and having just the biggest time of his life. In fact, he was a young man, much like some of you, thinking that, boy, he'd just have himself a time. But God spoke to him, and he did not repent. But that very night, he perished. There's another man, I believe it was Apostle Paul talked to. His name was Felix. And Paul tried his very best to win Felix to the Lord, or trying to get Felix to make that choice, Jesus as Savior, to repent.
And Felix said these words, "Almost, Paul, almost thou persuadeth me." In other words, he's saying this, "Paul, I'm coming this close to getting saved." Some of y'all tonight, that's where y'all standing right now, just this close. Holy Spirit speaking your heart. You've heard what the Word of God said with all authority and all absoluteness. But you're saying, "Almost, you're persuading me." They said, "Go away and come back a more convenient season. Go away and let me enjoy my youth. And I just want to sow some more of my wild oats." But may I say, to the best of my knowledge, Felix never had another opportunity. He perished. He could have repented, but he perished. Almost had salvation, but he perished. And then today I was thinking about the man in hell. You ever thought about that man in hell? He had a family. There's no way his choice was going to ever be changed. He knows that in hell he'll be there in torment day and night forever and forever. But he said to Abraham, he said, would you just send Lazarus to tell my brothers? I have five brothers out there. He said, because I don't want them to come to this awful place. And you know, maybe, who knows, those brothers could have had children. And their children could have had children, and their children could have had children right on down the line till it could have been some of our folks that he is talking about. And maybe some way in his mind he was thinking about all the people that it would affect. Your choice is not only going to affect you tonight, it'll probably affect your children. You say, "Preacher, I'm just a young boy. I'm just a young lady. I don't have any children." But I tell you what, you reject Christ and it could affect their eternity too. Tonight, the choice is yours. He's knocking on your heart's door saying, "Let me in. Let me in. Repent. Be saved. Be born again. I want to save you." But it's your choice. Some of you probably say no. And some of you tonight that's heard this message will perish along beside the man in hell. You'll hear them screaming, wailing, gnashing of the teeth. And all because we did not repent. As we stand tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, this message, I believe, was sent straight from heaven for you. Maybe some of y'all Christian folks want to come and pray. You got some loved ones that's not saved and you want to pray for them. But I just believe tonight, in the midst tonight, there's some that's not saved. You might even say, "Preacher, I don't understand all what you're talking about." But he made it simple, as much as we can understand it. Repent or perish.